classic WGN radio commercial. And I've been asked countless times over the years, and this is what we're going to do for the next half hour, is talk about some of the genealogy between Chicago radio and television, their call letters, something we do every couple of years with a buddy of mine I'll introduce in a minute. But all these call letters have a meaning. They have a specific meaning, just like WGN does. I actually just had this conversation with a millennial. We talked about, you know, radio in Chicago. So again, this week I thought about the one person that has all this stored up useless information.
Who's that?
And look at this.
Did you bring someone into the studios? I can't see the whole room over there.
No, you can't. You can't.
I can't. There's somebody in there that with you. I'm going to be glued to my radio.
Useless information would be when I think useless information.
Thank you.
I think of Roger Radish. Now, this person that I talked to knew that WGN meant world's greatest newspaper.
Sure.
And I think most people know that. It was on the nameplate, really, of the newspaper, the Chicago Tribune, for 65 years. Mm-hmm. It ended, I think, in 1976, but it debuted in like 1911. The world's greatest newspaper are not used as a boast, mm-hmm. is what this says, but a statement of fact in which people who make this paper, people who read it, people who advertise in it, and many impartial experts firmly believe. And, you know, it was 1924 that the paper, mm-hmm. you know, because we were owned by the Tribune at one
sure.
point, acquired the radio station WDAP, mm-hmm. and Colonel Robert McCormick, who owned the Tribune, changed the station's call letters to GN so that there was some synergy between the radio station and the newspaper.
Actually, the original broadcast, they shared the frequency with another radio station.
That's right.
Different call letters. And if I'm not mistaken, the original broadcast came out of the Edgewater Beach Hotel.
It did. Yep. Yep.
The hotel itself is gone. It's been gone for several decades.
Yes.
The apartment building next to it, if anyone ever drives up Lakeshore Drive, right north, right when it starts at Sheridan Road there, mm-hmm. You will see the Edgewater Beach Apartments, which look exactly like the hotel did before it was demolished. It was a pink building.
Right.
It was a resort of a lot of people out there.
Kind of a cool place to put a radio station.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah. Well, they had a lot of big Hollywood stars and singers and show people
used
to come out there. And so they put them on the radio.
Yeah, made a lot of sense. And we were at the Drake, too, I think. I mean, we bounced around a lot before we went to the Tribune. Everyone thinks since we were on the air, we were at the Tribune Tower.
No. In fact, for a while, the station moved from the tower, if I'm not mistaken, over to the TV station on Bradley Place, and then came back downtown.
That's right.
And, you know, for a time, WGN actually had an FM station.
Yes, we did.
And the original call letters for that were not really call letters. They were numbers and letters. W59C started in 1941 on 45.9 FM. And it was eventually WGNB. And it becomes...
That's not creative.
WFMT.
Oh, is that what the frequency...
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Well, to explain to folks, you know, because as we get into this...
Sure.
There's W's in the Midwest and, mm-hmm. and the East, obviously, mm-hmm. and a lot of stations start with a K on the West Coast. Talk to us a little bit about that.
So this started with the Federal Radio Commission, which mm-hmm. is a precursor to the Federal Communications Commission, which actually is an arm of Congress. It is not under the president's direct control. It's under the arm of Congress because the public or the airwaves, not cable TV, mm-hmm. regular TV, regular radio, is owned by the public. It's the public airwaves is how it's originally been determined by the Communications Act. And back in 1922, in order to keep everyone from broadcasting on the same frequency, where you would not hear anything, mm-hmm. the government stepped in and said, okay, you got to be here, you got to be there, you got to be here. They divided everyone up on the AM side. FM came later because it hadn't been discovered yet. And so the AM signal was divided up, and stations were spread out not only within a city, but by cities. Because some stations were broadcasting with a lot of power, like we are, the 50,000-watt love pump, and we're one of what's called the...
What did you just...
I don't know if I like that.
Can you hit the... Can you hit...
Should I dump that?
Yeah, dump. Yeah, I would dump that, Tom, if I were you. Jesus. All right, go ahead.
We're one of about 20 clear channel radio stations in America that broadcast non-directional, 50,000 watts, 24/7. So on a clear night, you can get us in California, in Canada, in Mexico.
No, when I was driving in Dallas, I was listening to a Hawks game, when I was driving through Ohio, I mean, it's very easy to pick up, especially early in the morning, right, late at night, for sure.
Yeah. So real quick on the W's and the K's.
Yes,
so
sir.
W stations east of the Mississippi start with the letter W. The stations west of the Mississippi start with the letter K. So you can have a WABC in New York and a KABC out on California. Now, the original demarcation line was not the Mississippi, is why you have some stations that have a K east of the Mississippi and some with a W west of the Mississippi.
Okay.
Yeah. The original demarcation line was the far left, the west border of Texas, going straight up. So you were way west of the Mississippi.
Yeah.
So then they eventually moved it to the Mississippi, used that as a demarcation line. So you've still got about 20 radio stations west of the Mississippi that have a W at the start of their call letters.
I think Minneapolis, St. Paul, there's mixed W's and K's in that city as well. King of worthless information, by the way. I'm just
that's
crowding
right.
you. That was very nice.
I appreciate it. Now, there's also a C and an X that start call letters in North America. And the C is for
clown.
Class clown. A distinction you and I both share, I think.
Yes, yes.
No, C is for Canadian stations.
Oh, okay, right.
And the X is for Mexican stations with towers in Mexico.
Well, and there was also an N. There was an N for government stations back in the day. Mm-hmm. So here in Chicago, I mean, obviously, you know, we're as old or just about as old as WLS, but Sears was very big into radio in the very beginning of the 1920s. And they began broadcasts as WBBX, I guess. And then they changed the call letters to WES after World's Economy Store, because they were, you know, naming it after themselves, which then moved to WLS for World's Largest Store. That's what LS stands for. But please continue listening to WGN. WCFL, AM 1000 is what it was.
Chicago Federation of Labor.
Yeah.
They owned it.
Yeah. Exactly.
And where was their original broadcast facility?
I don't know.
It's across the river.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the towers.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, that's where their studios were. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, that's where the original WFLD TV studios were also.
Okay. All right. WVON, originally in 63, was the voice of the Negro. Now it's the voice of the nation, what it is called. WIND, first signed on in 27. Same guy that started WBBM. We'll talk about that. But IND is not about the Windy City.
Not at all, because originally it was licensed to Indiana.
Yeah, that's right.
So there you go.
JJD.
It's named after the owner, and the name escapes me.
It was owned by Marshall Fields. See, all these department stores had their own radio station. That's kind of what it was all about.
Well, they had the space for it. And if you go back to the extreme history of broadcasting, most radio stations were started by snake oil salespeople, started by department stores, started by actually WSM was started by an insurance company, and they sponsored the Grand Ole Opry, and that's how they eventually got out and sold insurance.
WBBM, there's a couple different versions of these.
Yeah.
We Broadcast Better Music was one of them, and then for a time, the callers were also known to mean World's best battery maker because the radio station was run by the Atlas brothers, who that's what they did for a living.
Yeah.
WBKB. Now we're talking a little television in here.
Yeah, you're throwing the TV in there. And I we haven't touched on that before, but it's Balaban and Katz, which owned a theater chain.
Theater chains.
A very huge theater chain throughout the Chicago and most of the country, I think.
But I mean, literally, you think about all these stations kind of came out of a business that wanted to promote their own wares. All right, we're going to geek out a little bit more with Roger Banish. We're talking about all these crazy call letters, what they mean in Chicago. All right, we'll be right back. But we're talking a little Chicago radio and television genealogy, kind of where the origins of some of these things come from. We talked about MAQ. ENR was a station that was WLS before, but ENR was the owner was Ian Rowland, I guess. WTTW, Window to the World. I think that's an easy one. What about Field? WFLD was Field.
Field Communications.
Which was Marshall Fields again.
Yeah. They Let me give you a quick one. You asked about WJJD.
Yeah.
J.J. Davies. Was apparently the original owner, and I think that's where they originally came from.
Okay.
And let me throw out WMAQ again, which is kind of weird because, as we mentioned, NBC used to own them.
Yeah.
But William A. Quinn was the publisher of the Chicago Daily News, and I believe was the original owner of that call letter for the I believe so.
Okay.
How about WBEZ?
Now tell me.
Board of Education.
Oh,
WBZ,
yeah.
Originally owned by the Board of Education.
That's right.
Now it's independently owned, I believe. WBMX. Now here's one from your past and my far past. BMX, Black Music Experience. The call letters, we were just talking about this, how call letters switch around the country a lot.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, and, you know, a station wants to repurpose itself. They pick different call letters to represent the kind of format that they have. And when they get rid of the old call letters, someone else can grab them.
WSNS, which was TV 44.
Sure.
The SNS theater chain was part owner. It was called SNS, E-S-S-A-N-E-S-S. So that was just the abbreviation.
I wonder if it was... related in any way to the SNA movie studios that started here in Chicago before they went to Hollywood. Interesting.
Short-lived Spanish station that shared time on WPWR Power, as all stood for, was WBBS. It was Bulls, Blackhawks, and Sox, because that was mainly what was on that station.
Oh, it's all sports station. Nice. WCLR. It's not what you may think it is.
Yeah.
What a CLR clear. Would be like clear.
Clear channel.
Right? Clear channel. Yeah. No. Yeah. Chicago's Light Rocks.
Zenith Radio had a TV station called WTZR. It was on Channel 1 when that frequency actually existed on a television set. It was there, there was a knob for Channel 1.
Yeah. Which I think I had a TV that actually had that on there.
What else you got there, Raj?
I have WEFM. Which was Edwin F. McDonald, former Zenith Corp president, president of the Zenith Corporation, WGCI, Globetrotter Communications Incorporated, WMBI, I think we all know, MBI.
Nope, help me.
No, Moody Bible Institute. They still broadcast.
Okay.
Maine Township High School, WMTH, of course. WNIB. Now, I'm trying to rack my memory. If I'm not mistaken, this used to be the second classical music station in Chicago.
Oh.
Until the family had to sell the station.
Gotcha.
At a time, we had two FM classical music stations in town. And then I believe it was NIB was the second one that had to go out of business, Northern Illinois Broadcasting. And then WNUA.
Oh, New Age.
New Age,
yeah. Dean was the morning guy there, wasn't he, Richards?
I think so, yeah.
For quite some time.
And he and I kind of almost crossed paths.
I think he avoided you, but...
Well, he still is. There's a piece of legal paper, I think. But I don't bring it up that much.
Okay.
But Charlie Meyerson hired me to be a fill-in relief person just after I got my teaching license and right before I got my first job at Downers Grove. Mm-hmm. I was hired to come in there to fill in for Charlie. And I think Dean had just left WNUA.
Yeah. Because he knew you were coming.
Oh, well, of course.
Of course. All right. Chicago Broadcasting Genealogy with Roger Badish, everybody.